the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour, with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Set down!
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, AJ Appelgarth. What's up, man?
What's happening?
We are watching the Lions absolutely destroy the Packers.
Decimation.
It is pretty incredible. excuse me. That being said, man, it is a Thursday night, and I'm looking forward to talk some football with you guys here. Before we jump into things here, though, let's get to business. Hit that subscribe button. Hit those like buttons. Leave those comments. Leave those five-star reviews wherever you're listening or watching. We appreciate it. Does a lot of help for us. And of course, go over to fantasysixpack.net. And I already forgot all the banners. I suck at this. Our producer is not here.
This is gone.
So thanks, just Mike.
Attempting to run the show.
Jump out of fantasysixpack.net/plans and become an all-access member of Fantasy Six Pack today. Well, you're going to get access to our award-winning rankings. You're going to get access to our Discord, our members-only Discord channels. We have a free Discord, but we also have our members-only Discord where you can ask us, you know, your direct custom questions. We answer a lot of them. Everybody who's in there seems to be loving the advice. You're also going to get access to our DFS and betting projections, our other DFS and betting advice, and then some. Guys, it is an awesome deal. So jump over there today and become a member. And AJ, man, I think I want to say a little something, man. I want to congratulate you for being number four Razz Bowl right now.
Number four in Razz Bowl,
and you're what, number
84, I think, in Scott Fish 13.
Scott Fish, yeah, man. I'm not doing so hot in Scott Fish, although. Yeah, be fair, Josh Jacobs has completely shit the bed so far. I've not had Cooper Kupp. I've also not had Christian Watson, who returned today, but I did not start him, thankfully. I think that's going to be a wise decision, it's looking like. We also have in Scott Fish, I believe, Keith Lott, who runs our projections.
Lott, number six.
We've got Fish. A couple other guys in the top 100, or at least top 150, I believe, which I know top 150 doesn't sound awesome, but for those of you who do not know, there are over 3,000 people in Scott Fish, so top 150 is phenomenal. And being top six is incredible. So kudos to Keith on that.
I'm 84. So
yeah.
I think Razz Bowl, 75th out of 600 teams in Warrior Bowl. So
nice, man.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm representing pretty well for the first few weeks here.
Yeah, man. See if I can Razz Bowl. We've got you at four. We've got Nick Spencer at five, who does the rankings with me over Fantasy Six Pack. Ryan Kirksey at 12, and I'm actually number two. So it's been a hell of a run for Fantasy Six Pack so far.
And I Razz thought Bowl. You were at the top spot.
In Razz Bowl?
Yeah.
No, I'm number two.
Oh.
There's somebody else right in front of me by like 4 points.
Yeah.
But
I knew it was close. So
yeah, it's super close. But yeah, man, it's been, and I've done that. I've gotten the number two overall in Razz Bowl without Aaron Jones and without Austin Eckler the last 2 weeks. How
That's
nuts.
Crazy.
I mean, I would think I'd easily be number one with those two healthy, but it's pretty nuts, man.
Speaking of news, I do want to give our sincere condolences. Baseball world lost a magic man, Mr. Oriole. Brooks Robinson passed away earlier this week. And
go O's.
Yeah, definitely a sad day in baseball history in general. Definitely hits harder for us being O's fans. My father-in-law is a huge Brooks Robinson fan, so I know he's taking it pretty hard. He played third base and wore number 5, you know, and it was his guy. So definitely a sad day for that. But speaking of other good things to come, I don't want to continue to toot my own horn, but I also was the winner this week of a DeAndre Swift signed
jersey. I saw that, man.
Fantasy Cares.
yeah.
That was awesome. Just, you know, people go out, donate to the cause. You know, they have so many different charities there at Fantasy Cares. You know, obviously run through Scott Fishbowl, you know, that's their main charity there as well. It was awesome. Like I didn't expect to win. I just threw $50 at it and was like, yeah, we'll see what happens. If not, you know, no big deal. It's more money that I've put towards Fantasy Cares this year, just to help the causes. And then I came back from lunch and started watching the video, and you know, they announced it right away, and I was just like, well, okay, all right, holy crap, like this is awesome. You know, they had my name pop up on the little banner and everything on the YouTube channel.
Yes, people, man. John Bosch, he's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. So thank you guys again for that, Fantasy Cares. And it's just been a good season so far for me, so I don't know what's going on. it's not usually like this. At least it hasn't been for a few years. So
it'll end eventually.
All right, well, so, let's get to our guests. Let's get to some football here and let's get going. What do we got?
Yeah, man. So we're gonna be bringing in our guest and Mr. JJ Schultz.
What's up?
I didn't screw it up.
You crushed it, bro. One for one. Man.
So our resident dynasty podcaster and writer over at Fantasy Six Pack joins us tonight to talk about some of our week 4 rankings and start sit decisions, and then a little bit of extra news. And by the way, we got a little bit of extra fun at the end that we're going to announce. So stay tuned for that. We're going to have a lot of fun on the show, hopefully for the rest of the season. And you all are more than welcome to join. What do you think of this game so far, man?
Oh man, I switched over to the Mariners game. Like, we're pretty much playoff game from here on out. Like, we gotta win out, basically. True. So like I switched it over to the Mariners.
I am pulling for the Mariners hard right now.
That last night was a rough one. That was killer.
I would love to have the Astros not make the playoffs and have the Phillies back in as the number one wild card.
Man, I already hated the Astros, and then I went to the Mariners playoff game last year that went 18 innings against the freaking Astros, and we lost on that late fucking homer. Brutal. So like, I cannot stand them, man.
Brutal. Yeah. All right, man. Well, let's before we jump into things here, do our beer of the week.
Beer.
All right, JJ, what you got for us?
I'm a little boring today, but just a little bit of Michelob Ultra. And I figure, watch the figure a little bit, the winter months coming. That's on, fine. You know?
We good?
Can't golf as much, so keeping it light.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah.
AJ.
I myself am drinking a Trogues Independent Brewing. I guess it's Hopora. H-O-P-O-R-A. It's an Hopora. IPA. Yeah, it's... I can find it. It's lighter.
Cool.
My
pronunciation of my beer won't be much better.
Yeah. It's 6.2. Hop cycle is fall. Citra, Solero, and Chinook hops. Yeah, pretty good. I mean, it's light, easy drinking, and crushable.
Cool.
It's a good combination.
So I'm drinking, it's the brewery name, and we talked about this before the show. So we all three had a different pronunciation. So I'm going with 10 Eyck Brewing Company. It's EYCK, as from Queenstown, Maryland. It is called Stand Up Triple. And I saw it, and even though I already had lunch, I got super hungry because that looks phenomenal.
That's awesome.
I was like, well, that got my attention. It is
that was not what came to my mind when I heard the title.
On the front of the can, by the way. And it doesn't help that they had the Oriole bird on the back. So
okay, that's like, oh, I was like, I figured it was a baseball. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is obviously a triple IPA. Got Mosaic and Nelson Sauvin, whatever.
Yes.
Many ops these days. I don't know.
Nelson Sauvin.
I know, that's what I wanted to say, but I didn't. But no, it's good stuff. I actually gave it like a 3.75. It's like kind of in between. Like some sips I'm like, ugh, and then some sips I'm like, oh, it's all right. It's like kind of a weird in between 3.75 and four. But all right, man. So we're gonna jump into our rankings review via some start sit scenarios. And you guys ready?
I believe we are. I appreciate you dumping the praise on me. Now it's my turn. I would like to dump some praise back on you for hitting back-to-back weeks in the top 10 of the accuracy ranking so far. I mean, obviously, we know from the banners and everything.
Thank you.
How you're pretty good at this ranking thing, you know, year in and year out. And you're back at it again. So I'm proud of you.
Very much so.
Keep up the good
Thank
work.
You.
Fantasy six pack people, take notes, pay attention. We're here. We're not going anywhere. And we're kicking ass.
What's up, Jamie? All right. Glad to have you here, man.
What up, Jamie?
And we do have a question real quick. Actually, AJ, and again, like you, I hate to toot my own horn, but probably most impressive of all of that is I've actually moved up to number 2 overall. Yeah. Right behind Sean Kerner, who we know is a complete machine. That dude is a monster. He's so awesome. I've lost to him many, many times in the accuracy challenge, and rightfully so. The dude is awesome. But we do have a question here real quick. Albert asks, DeAndre Swift or Kyren Williams? Half PPR. I believe we're going to get to some of this, but I will answer your question now. I am going Kyren Williams myself.
Ooh. Interesting. I'm going the other way. I'm going Swifty.
Yeah, I'm tie-breaking with Swifty this week. Washington's got a solid defense, but Swift has been unstoppable, and I just won a jersey for him. So I do
worry that they are still getting Gainwell super heavily involved here.
Yeah.
Now I do realize, and I even said this in my usage article, that a lot of Gainwell's carries were, you know, in garbage time. They were running out the clock last drive type of thing, but they still want him. Like if you kind of followed the game, his snaps, he was on the field a lot. Like they kind of like flipped. So I do, like, again, I just don't fully trust the Eagles backfield, kind of like I said last year. So, you know, last week, I mean, so it, you know, it is what it is, but, all right, well, let's get into this thing. AJ, are you gonna read it? Are we gonna flip flop here without?
Yeah, I'll.
What we're gonna do?
I'll start with quarterbacks, and then you can read running backs, and then cool. I'll start receivers. We'll do it that way.
Let's do it.
Cool. All right. So the first quarterbacks that we have here are Justin Fields versus Denver, and CJ Stroud versus Pittsburgh. JJ, we'll start with you. What are you feeling here?
Yeah, so I actually have this exact start sit decision in a league this week. So I actually went through and did my lineups last week, so I can finish this pretty easy. It's CJ Stroud for me. You know, I look at how many points Denver gave up last week, and if any defense is like a get right game for Fields, it would be this one. But man, like, I've been big on Stroud since he came in. So like, I can't really say I'm surprised that he's took off like he is so far. This is pretty much, I mean, he's my number one quarterback coming in for the rookie class. Like, that's never wavered. So he's pretty much doing what I expected. So I'm going to keep rolling with that until he gives me a reason not to. You know, I just need that one Fields game to see that he's back, you know, and then he's back to must-start territory. But it's, I'm trying to find like positives when I go back and like I watch the games after, and it's just been brutal, like all around. He doesn't look comfortable out there. He hasn't been accurate. He's missing guys that are wide open. Not even throwing it to guys that are wide open on some plays. It's just, it's rough right now. I'll go Stroud fairly easily here.
All right, Joseph.
I'm still going Fields. The rushing upside, you know, gives him like, as much as Fields has been bad as an NFL quarterback, he still hasn't been horrible as a, he's still been pretty damn good as a fantasy quarterback. And yes, Stroud's been good too. I cannot sit there in good conscience start a rookie quarterback against a Steelers defense that, yes, hasn't been great so far this year, over Fields, who has, you know, he's still running quite a bit. So I will stick with Fields reluctantly. I don't like it.
Yeah. I had to go back and forth on this one a little bit, but initially I liked Stroud, coming off a big win. And Houston's been playing not terribly bad football. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been in the games, I feel like, and he's been a big part of that. But overall, I feel like the rushing upside with Fields is gonna take it for me. It's close for me, but I think I'm gonna lean Fields on this one.
This is hilarious.
I know.
Jamie's actually saying somebody offered him Fields straight up for Stroud in the dynasty today, and he instantly declined. I would too. So little funny side story here. I've actually got Trevor Lawrence and Fields in a single QB league. I put both of them up for trade this offseason. Everybody went after Lawrence, and I was like, nah, I kind of want to trade Fields more. Nobody wanted Fields. Like, okay. I mean, that was,
yeah.
Everybody sort of thought the same thing, I feel like. And so I get it. Another,
for what it's worth, I have Stroud, I think, four spots ahead of Fields in my dynasty rankings.
Yeah, I mean, last, like 2 weeks ago. Point, so, I mean, at this point, it's, you know, it you're seeing it. You're seeing what I was kind of yelling from the mountaintops that nobody wanted to listen to me all off season. And our producer was one of those like, oh, you don't believe. Well, yeah, I mean, okay. But sober money here. Yo, question. What's up, man? In Dynasty, what would you add to Kyler to get Anthony Richardson? I mean, it's such a vague question. It's so hard to answer without knowing your team, knowing what you've got available. You'd have to give a little more depth. This feels like a question where you gotta run over to our Discord and kind of talk in a little more detail with us over there, and we can give you a much better answer than we could on air here. So fantasysixpack.net/Discord, jump in there, man, and we can give you a much better answer to that question. That's a much more involved question.
Do you want to answer it like in a vacuum though, like just assuming regular,
I mean, like you're gonna have to probably give like you're gonna have to give a fairly solid RB, you know, a running back or receiver, I would say.
Yeah.
Because Kyler's not playing right now. We don't know where he's gonna be, what he's gonna be. Anthony Richardson is looking good, at least solid for fantasy. Mm-hmm. I don't really like him as an NFL quarterback. He's kind of like a Fields to me. Like, yeah, he's gonna be okay. But to me, he's already passing way better than Fields already has, and maybe it's coaching.
I mean, he's been hitting like almost 68% of his passes, I think.
But it's, you know, so you're gonna have to give up something relatively substantial to do that, you know.
Yeah,
unless you're looking at like a big Kyler fan. But anyway, we probably should move on here.
All right, yeah. Next question. So next guys we got lined up here is, you just mentioned him, Trevor Lawrence versus the ATL, or Brock Purdy like a rock star versus Arizona. So, Joe, you can go first on this one. Which of these two do you like better?
I'm still sticking with Trevor Lawrence. I know he hasn't looked great the last couple of weeks, but he is getting that Atlanta defense. And I know, you know, they've actually looked better than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
But this game's in London. A lot of weird things happen in London.
Oh, that is right.
And by the way, we're going to get our random cow pits day.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
Then everybody's going to go trade him as soon as that happens, by the way. But yeah, I mean, look, Atlanta's still not that good. I still believe in Lawrence, and I think this offense is going to get right very, very quickly. They're just too talented to be looking this bad. You know, they got kind of embarrassed last week, and I think they're going to get right, and this will be the start of it.
All right.
I'll go Lawrence too, but it's close. I mean, the Arizona defense, I mean, they played my Cowboys tough last week. I mean, they made it tough to move the ball on them. They didn't give a lot up once we got in the red zone. But I do feel like this is a game where CMC is going to kind of go off. So I think it's going to run more through him. So I don't know if there will be as much fantasy production for Purdy. So I'll go Lawrence, but I think kind of similar to how you felt on the last one. Like, I don't feel super great about it. Like, it's close, but Lawrence by a hair.
I'm going to buck the trend here. I'm going with Brock, actually. I think I agree with you. This could be a pretty heavy CMC game, but Purdy's been really good and better than I've really given him credit for. You know, I thought he was just kind of a flash in the pan. The end of their schedule last year was kind of weak teams and whatever. And then, you know, the Eagles toasted him in the NFC Championship game. So, you know, he wasn't much to me, but he's opened my eyes a little bit more, and you know, I've turned the corner on him. So I think it's the big thing with him though this week is whether or not Ayuk's going to play. Samuel is questionable. You know, they've just got a slew of injury issues to deal with right now, but Juwan Jennings is also questionable. All this courtesy of my update from earlier today of the Fantasy Six Pack wide receiver depth chart. Go check it out on the site. And the running back depth chart as well. Injuries updated. Some of them have already changed. So I got to keep up with that. But I like Purdy personally. So
I can't blame you. I mean,
yeah. I think it's all, again, it's kind of splitting hairs for me, Lawrence.
It's tough. It's funny. My mom,
great.
My mom plays in a family league, and she's literally like, I screwed Trevor Lawrence. I'm playing Brock Purdy. I'm like, okay, you do you.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do it, but I get it. I totally get it. But yeah. All right. Well, let's move over here to some running backs.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We're going to start with a juicy one here. Josh Jacobs versus the Chargers going against Raheem Mostert and the 70 burger Dolphins against the Bills.
Man.
I think AJ, you get this one first. I get an AJ and a JJ. This is confusing.
I know.
Well.
Thanks, guys. This will be fun. I'm leaning Jacobs on this one. I get it. Mostert had a ridiculous game last week and then was somehow outshined by his backup, Devon A-Chain. I mean, that game was just ridiculous. We were going to hit on it later, but we might as well just hit on it now. 70 points, people. 70 points. I mean, that's unheard of for the most part. I mean, it has happened a few times in the past here. It kind of reminded me of...
It's like 1960, yeah, by the way. And then 1940 before that.
Of the game, the Goff Rams and Patty Mahomes Chief game a few years
ago. Oh,
that was like incredible Monday night.
Was that Goff or was that that Stafford?
It was Goff.
No, that was Goff. Yeah, was like I think he got shipped out the next year, right?
They just kept going back and forth.
Yeah, but that's like the Miami offense just kind of did that game on their own
by themselves.
Denver was just
on both sides.
Buffalo's defense has been very strong, though, the past couple of weeks. Week one was not as great, but, you know, they're coming into form. This game's in Buffalo, division game. I do not see Miami putting up another 70 spot. I don't think they're going to put up a 40 spot. I think this is going to be, you know, a tougher sled for them. So I'm leaning with Jacobs.
JJ.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jacobs as well. I think this is going to be kind of his get-right breakout game. I wish I could remember what it was. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and they had Robert Turbin on, and he was talking about Josh Jacobs, and he pretty much predicted that he was going to need 3 to 4 weeks to kind of get his legs back under and really get going. And we've kind of seen that slow start, so I'm like, well, maybe the ex-running back knows what he's talking about. I'll go Jacobs here, but I am going to add this. There is no way I'm putting Mostert on my bench. Like, I'm finding him in a flex spot in my lineup. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
no chance. No chance. Clearly, Mostert is in the lineup. And the reason why this is a question is because Mostert was drafted as like an RB6 in a lot of leagues. Like, how crazy is that? And I drafted him almost everywhere because I was like, if I can get a piece of this running back room for the Dolphins, which I thought this offense was going to be awesome, not 70 points awesome,
right?
Whatever. Then I'm going to do it. And Mostert, when he's healthy, is phenomenal. He always has been. So he just had to hope. And, you know, at that price point, it was an easy pick. I'm on Jacobs, though. The matchup is sweet. And I get it. You know, he's had a slow start. Look, he had a slow start last year. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden was like, you know, lit a fire up under his ass, and he led the league in rushing and touchdowns and, you know, fantasy points. And I'm not going to say he's going to do that again, but he's going to get going. You know, you had to expect a slow start from him after he held out, like JJ, you were saying. I just don't see there being any way that he is this bad the rest of the year. He's been pretty awful. So, and my fantasy teams are, especially Scott Fish, really hoping he turns it around. So that being said, let's move on here to our next one. And it is returning off of suspension, Alvin Kamara going against the Bucks, and AJ's hometown boy, DeAndre Swift, going against the Commanders. JJ, what you got, man?
I'm going to keep rolling with Swift here. I think Kamara is going to have a decent game, but I mean, even thinking back to last year, like he had slowed down. I think it's been like 2 years since he's had a 30-yard or longer run. So I do think he's going to be involved, but I do think it's going to be kind of easing him back. You know, they have Kendra Miller still there. Tony Jones got some work last week as well. And Swift, man, he's just been on a tear, man. I don't see any way that you could put Swift on your bench right now. Like, I can understand not trusting it, but it's kind of one of those, like, I just feel like I gotta take that lottery ticket every single week until it blows up in my face again, just the way he's been playing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm on Swift here. You know, they do seem to be relying on him in the more important running downs. And the Commanders, believe it or not, the Commanders, like, as much as we want to, you know, tout their run defense, they're kind of middle of the road, same with Tampa. So they're kind of right there. And give me the guy who's been sort of grinding already and already in the flow of things over the guy coming off suspension that hasn't had game speed yet. Yeah, I know Kamara has been a fantasy stud in the past, but if you really go back and look at Kamara for the last couple of seasons, he's not been that great. He's had like one or two blow up games that has really propelled his like fantasy overall points. You know, I think, what was it? 2 years ago, it was in the championship game.
Yeah.
Scored like 50 points or whatever it was. And it was like, okay. You know, and he did something similar last year, I feel like. You know, and he's got that potential. I'm just not sure that's going to happen. I really doubt that's going to happen this week. So I'm in on Swift. AJ?
Yeah, I'm leaning Swift as well. I mean, you guys pretty much hit everything. So,
cool.
All right.
Let's move over here to, I guess that's the last one.
Yep. We'll move right into the wide receiver position here. And we are looking at JJ. This is a start two, Freeway. Sit okay. one.
Okay.
So we've got Garrett Wilson versus the Chiefs. We've got Sausage Egg McLaurin at Philly. And we've got Mike Evans at New Orleans. So who's the one you're sitting, I guess?
Man, it's tough. I think the one that I'm sitting is the one, like, is the most talented. Like, the one in Dynasty, like, I'd want, you know, no problem. That's Garrett Wilson. I don't know how you can roll him out here right now. The Chiefs defense has been playing really well. Zach Wilson has not. I know there's like the chance that he could catch one and take it to the house like he did against Dallas, but if you're picking me, who's going to have five catches in this game, I'm putting money on the other two over Garrett Wilson this week.
All right, Joe, what you got?
I'm actually sitting McLaurin. I don't like what I've seen so far from Sam Howell and the McLaurin connection yet. I was hoping for more. It just hasn't happened. The you know, the Eagles secondary isn't great, but they're not bad. And yeah, they might be trailing from behind, but come on, they were trailing last week almost the entire game, you know, by multiple scores, and he still couldn't really get it going. Yeah. So this game's in Philly. Like, I know we don't like Zach Wilson. Garrett Wilson's still, you know, at least semi getting it done. Like, when he gets the ball, he's at least like making things happen, right? I mean, he's got more points than Terry McLaurin on the season. So I'm gonna sit F1 McLaurin.
I'm actually gonna agree with you, and not because of me being a Phillies fan and you being Commanders. I agree with your points, though. The other thing that worries me with this game is Washington was the first team to beat Philly last year in Philly. And, you know, I think that that's going to be
kind of
a sticking point. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, bulletin board material that's going to be, you know, there for Philly, you know, while they're practicing.
I don't have Lightning Rod Heineke, though.
That's true.
That dude brought some life to that team. I'm not going to lie. He really did.
And, I mean, it was a hard game to watch as an Eagles fan. But I think, I think the Howell McLaurin combo just isn't there at all yet.
Even Dotson's been struggling with it. Like, when Howell throws four picks, that's a rough game. Yeah, you know, I don't think he's going to really do that again. But
that was like a welcome to the NFL game against that.
Yeah, it really was. Because he had been looking at least moderately decent every game before that. And that was like, oh, all right, rookie.
Yeah.
Welcome. All right, let's do the next one here.
All right, so the next set we got here is Tank Dell versus Pittsburgh, Tutu Atwell at Indy, or Jordan Addison at Carolina. Joe, we'll start with you. Which one are you sitting? Those three.
All right, so we got Tank Dell, got Jordan Addison, and we got Tutu Atwell. And I find that well in my rankings. Here we go. Man, as much as I like the guy, I'm sitting Addison. And I know, you know, the matchup is looking on paper, when you see the Carolina Panthers name on paper, you're going, ooh, easily. This is Addison Day, right? Hang on. The Panthers have the fourth best defense against opposing receivers for half PPR.
That's like without J.C. Horn too, right?
Fantasy points allowed this season. The Steelers, by the way, are fifth worst, and Indy is seventh worst. So Tank Dell, we know, is on fire right now. Tutu is still going to get his, right? We know that offense is clicking right now with him and Puka. So I want in on those two still. Addison is a kind of a boom bust guy right now. It seems like, you know, he either takes one to the house like super deep, or he kind of just really isn't involved, which is exactly what we saw last week. So I'm sitting Addison out of those two, as much as I do like Addison.
Man, it's crazy. Like, I didn't get a chance to look at these ahead of time, but it's seriously like you pulled some of these like straight off my fantasy teams. Like, I have these three receivers that I had to pick two flex spots on. It's crazy. Like, I was like, wow, that's wild.
Pick like, hey, here's the 20th, 21st, and 22nd ranked player.
Yeah,
you're probably gonna have all three of those. You can't have all three of those. So we pick scenarios where like legit people have all three of these players. I know they do.
Yeah, so I agree with you, and obviously my feelings for Stroud probably play into this, but Tank Dell is the easy one. He's definitely starting right now.
Yep.
And the way I have it right now, I actually agree with you. I have 2-2 in over Addison.
I think Atwell's the easiest one for me. But
really? Okay. Yes, that's where I'm kind of.
I think Atwell's the easiest one. Tank Dell is sort of, because there's a lot of mouths to feed still there for Houston, right? You still got Nico. You still got Robert Woods, right? Addison, you at least know, for the most part, it's him and Jefferson and Hawk, right? So at least it's a little less competition, and you at least know the Minnesota Vikings are going to be allowing a lot of points because they can't run the ball right now, even though they got Cam Akers. I don't believe in anything Cam Akers can do right now. So, I think it's Dell and Addison that are closer to me than Atwell. I think Atwell's a lot higher up for me.
I would agree. I mean, I think this is a tough one because I have some shares of Addison. I've got a couple of Dell. I don't have any of Atwell. So he was going to be my I don't own the guy, so screw it. But I think Carolina, Minnesota is actually going to try to run the ball a little bit more in this game. Because of, you know, how good Carolina's been against the pass. Now, that said, Kirk Cousins and, you know, this whole passing game has been awesome all year.
Number one fantasy quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Who saw that coming?
Exactly. So, I think Addison takes a back seat this week. And I think Madison kind of hits the ground running again, pun intended. They said they're going to try to play Akers, get him some playing time this week. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. To see like his share.
I don't think he's very good. So I don't think
I'm not scared as a Madison owner.
Glad I traded him in Dynasty this offseason. Somebody wanted him, and I was like, bye. Because he finished very well last year. So I was like, you can have
you him. You can have
him. Bye-bye. My team's rebuilding, so I was like, out. I know he's a young running back, but I was like, goodbye. This guy was like hoping to win this year, hoping like Akers could put him a little bit over the top. Nah.
Yeah.
All right, receiver question
next
here.
Set we got here is Courtland Sutton at Chicago. We've got D-Hop versus Cincinnati, or DJ Moore versus Denver.
Gosh. I think this is you, AJ.
I think it is as well. I think of these three.
Somehow not start any of them.
I'm gonna keep it with the initials here and go DJ. I think I'm sitting DJ. You know, Cincy finally got their first win last week. You know, their defense has been okay, but you know, D-Hop's still a monster. I know he's still only got Tannehill throwing to him. And we talked about Fields earlier, but we talked about Fields running the ball. So just the whole Chicago receiving core right now is kind of weak. You know, DJ Moore is the standout there. I mean, hell, Cole Kmet's not even really doing anything.
Cole Kmet's droppable.
And yeah, I mean, Sutton's been great so far. I mean, he's been more of the highlight because Judy's been injured. Finally got back last week, was questionable again today when I was doing my update. So I'm sure he'll play, but I'd like Sutton better. So I'm sitting DJ. JJ, what you got?
I'm gonna sit Hopkins on this one. Coming into the year, man, I was already fading this Tennessee offense, man. I feel like Cincinnati, I feel like they're gonna start getting it right here pretty quick. Like I feel like they're gonna start looking more like the team we expected them to be here. Is he even back at practice yet? I know he missed Wednesday. I didn't see if he was back to practice today. Hopkins.
So Hopkins? Yeah, he was on injury report today.
Okay, so yeah, he's back then. Must have been like a veteran rest day then.
Yeah.
It's close between Hopkins and Sutton, Hopkins and Moore, I mean. But I'm going to go DJ Moore. I feel like he gets in the end zone again this week. That Denver defense, I mean, we just saw what happened. I don't think Fields has an overly great game, but I do think that he gets more enough targets where he can be productive here. So I'll go Hopkins sitting, but it's close.
Okay.
Joe. Yeah. I agree. It's close between him and Moore, but I'll lean Hopkins only because he's still seeing more targets. And I don't like any of it. It's pretty ugly. Believe me, I bought far too many shares of DeAndre Hopkins thinking, oh, I can get him at a wide receiver 3 price. Sure. This guy isn't washed yet. Well, I don't think he's washed, but I clearly think Tannehill is washed at this point. And that offensive line is atrocious. So, you know, maybe it's not Tannehill's fault, but when he does step up and throw, it's like, dude, that was nowhere near anybody. What are you doing? It's not good. So, but DJ Moore, I mean, like, he's kind of dealing with the same thing. It's just Justin Fields. I mean, now, granted, last week he probably should have caught one over the sideline that would just fell right into his lap and he just dropped it. But even with that, you're talking what, 4 catches for like 67 yards instead of 3 for 48 or whatever it was. Like, it's not been good for Moore either. So you know, and it those two are pretty ugly. Sutton's just sort of like he's seeing a lot more targets. Yeah, I think Judy's gonna get a little bit more involved here too. And we saw it last week. So I still like Judy probably more long term over Sutton.
Yeah.
But right now it's Sutton. And then for me, it's slightly Hopkins over Moore. So, all right. Our final start sit question here. We got tight end Kyle Pitts in London against Jacksonville. And then Tyler Higbee, who apparently might be injured. I don't know if anybody really realized that when they wrote the question. Let's just say that he's healthy against Indy. DJ, this is you, I think.
Yep.
I'm going to go, man. So my ride or die, man, I guess I'm going to go Kyle Pitts here. Like I saw a meme today on Twitter that was like, this is me. It's like a guy yelling at himself in the mirror. And it's like, you were right about Kyle Pitts. Arthur Smith is the problem. And like, that is me right now. So I'm going to go Kyle Pitts. But like, I mean, I've already benched him for like I've Laporta. Like that's an easy one. I started benching him last week for Laporta. So, I mean, it's hard to trust Pitts. But I mean, he led the team in targets and receiving last week. I think it's 2 out of the 3 weeks. He's been like the leading receiver with like 40 yards. So I'm just banking on an end zone, getting in the end zone. So I'll go Pitts here, but like, I can understand anybody that's completely off of this train.
Yeah. I'm going Pitts only because I mean, Higbee's done nothing either. So this has been the, you know, this has been the Puka and Atwell and Kyren Williams show right now. I mean, it's been okay. Last week he went 5 for 71, so I guess, you know, give him that. But since he sort of took away Puka, yeah, and even Atwell for a little bit, so like, you know, I don't know if I believe that's going to happen again. But I was trying to look up the stats real quick, and I meant to do it ahead of time, but I feel like Kyle Pitts has played well in London a couple of times. Like, he's okay, scored touchdowns there. And if I'm not wrong here, you know, but yeah, let's just go with Kyle Pitts. And man, tight end's pretty brutal this year. Of course, again,
yeah.
So
would you start
TJ Hockenson, Mark, if you're listening, I was right.
I would start. Would you start Komet over Pitts?
I said, would you start Komet over these guys this week? Because I know we said he's like borderline droppable, but I think that's a question.
No.
Really? Okay.
Would I start Komet over both of these guys?
I mean, I think Komet outscored Pitts 2 of the 3 weeks so far. I know for sure he did in week one.
I mean, he scored.
I think he's at like 10, 7, and 5. Kyle Pitts has
scored 6.5, 5.8, and 3.2 fantasy points.
I know
I'm
for sure
go with Pitt the upside of Pitt at that point.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to go Pitts
point,
too, but I think
I'm
it's
just
close.
Going with the upside of Pitts and hoping something figures it out. But yes, I mean, I just look, we're all in the same boat. Everybody's going, what in the hell is going on? Get this man the ball. At some point, man, Atlanta, if you really want to win some ball games, you got Tyler Heineke. We've seen it. I've seen it personally in Washington. Yeah. This man knows how to play quarterback. It's not awesome, but he's gonna get his playmakers the ball. He knows what to do. Desmond Ridder looks lost.
Mm-hmm.
Get this man the ball, man. You know.
Yeah, I agree. I would lean Pitts just sheer for upside. He's got to be able to do something. And yeah, Ridder sucks. As a Drake London owner, I hate Desmond Ridder. He was going to be my late quarterback target in a couple of leagues too.
I had a lot of Ridder, man. I'm ready to take my L though. I'm ready to see Heineke. Like, I'm like, I've seen enough. Like, he's not the guy, I don't think, unless he just has like a dramatic turnaround. Like,
yeah, exactly. So, that does it for our start sit section of the game here.
We have
a show
question here, and
we got a couple. Yeah,
this is a deep dive. Eric here asking 12 man PPR. How are we feeling about Keaton Mitchell? Just picked him up and stashed.
IR for Baltimore.
Keaton Mitchell, yeah, Ravens running back. I get it. Mm-hmm. Right, we're looking at Justice Hill. Not healthy. We're looking at Gus Edwards, concussed. Melvin Gordon's not a thing. We know Kenyon Drake's not a thing. I don't know if Mitchell's the answer, though. Like, at some point, Gus Edwards is probably coming back, if not this week, right? I mean, Mitchell could come back next week and maybe make
Edwards
a dent.
Was not on the injury report.
And then
today.
He'll practice in full, I think, today.
Yeah. So, like, I don't. If you've really got the luxury of hanging on to a Keaton Mitchell, sure, why not? I just find it hard to believe that you're going to be able to hang on to a guy like a Keaton Mitchell who's not going to play again this week, clearly, because he's not even eligible to return until next week. Over some of these like free agent waiver wire guys that are going to pop up after this week, because there is the inevitable injury that will happen, and there will be the player that you are going to want. So I have no issues with it for now. If you want to stash him, and especially if you have an IR spot, but I don't know, you guys,
I like
think differently. I'm sort of meh about it.
I took a shot in the dark on him as my last pick in the draft in the Dynasty Six Pack League.
Yeah, I mean that's a different. Those are deeper leagues. Yeah, 12 it's, man.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's
what's tough about it. Like the depth of the league just, maybe says mm-hmm. not yet.
I'm going to assume probably pretty deep benches if we're getting the Keaton Mitchells for a 12
team,
right?
Or like, he can just pick them up and throw them on the IR right away, which I have an issue
right.
with. That, mm-hmm. That's one thing I don't have an issue with. So yeah. Anyway, guys. Just
keep them stashed for now.
Let's jump over here to some news to finish out the show, maybe.
Yeah.
So top news and reactions. We're going to start off here with the and I think I threw it out of order here, unfortunately, but I actually want to start with that Miami Dolphins dropping a 70 burger. Sorry, AJ, I swapped it on you. But I know we mentioned it earlier, but man, just how incredible was this performance? I mentioned the stats before, but NFL 70 point games, right? Funny enough, Washington has been involved in the other two games. One was them being scored against by the Chicago, I'm guessing at that point, Bears. I don't even know. At this point, it was like 1940. And it was. Yeah, so, man, now I can't find the stupid stat. I had it, but anyway, it was Chicago against Washington back in like 1940. And then I believe it was 1966. Washington scored like 72 against somebody. I forget. It wasn't the Bears. But so the fact that it hasn't happened in this amount of time just tells you how hard it really is and just how different, just how much the game has changed, right? It's gotten more competitive, things like that. Like, we just don't see this type of thing happen. And you know, there were like reports on Twitter that, you know, oh, some of the owners were mad because blah, blah, blah. Like, they thought they ran up the score. They freaking put in their backups at the very end of the third quarter. They were, I mean, yeah they were throwing bombs. Stop them. They're throwing backups in. Like, are you kidding me? They threw a bomb to Chosen Anderson Robbie.
Chosen Anderson, maybe.
Like, jeez. Robbie. Nonsense. Chosen. So it's kind of like, guys, and like, they would hand the ball off to Achan or whatever he wants to be called now. Not Achan. I know that.
It's Achan.
Achan.
H-hand.
They just hand the ball off, and then he makes like five dudes drop on the ground as he runs.
So
by him.
Yeah, I got a stat
Come
for
on,
you
this
here.
Is nonsense.
So like they were throwing it, but like a good chunk of their touchdown was or their production was on the ground. So Achane and Mostert last week, I pulled it up. I had it in my recap article. So together they combined for 375 total yards and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between the
absurd.
Two running backs. That's insane.
Let me ask you a question, JJ. Devon Achane was, and I don't know if I pronounced that wrong again. This is ingrained in my head right now.
Yeah.
Because it took me so long to learn Achane. I thought it was something else before, and then everybody told me it was Achane, and apparently they were wrong too.
I thought it was Achane. So
anyway, point is, right? Achane was like the waiver wire darling this week, outside of maybe Palmer, and we'll get to him in a second, and maybe Quentin Johnson. Do you think he actually is worth the amount of money people were paying for him, especially in like fab leagues or like your number one waiver wire? Like, do you think he has a legitimate role going forward, or was this just kind of the game giving him?
So I think this was his ceiling, like for sure. This is
it's oh,
not
of course,
better
it's
than this.
The entire, it's the entire right. Dolphins ceiling.
No, I mean, I really like. So he was my RB4 in this class coming into the draft, and then once he landed in Miami, like that was a dream system for him. And I don't know if you saw like the clip that was going around on Twitter, like when they drafted him with Mike McDaniels, when he actually made the pick, like he's just like fist pumping, he is jazzed about it. And then you see last week, like why he was so excited about adding that. Like unlike the Joshua Kellys and Jerome Ford to an extent, I actually do think he's going to be worth the money. Like I think that you're going to want to start both of those running backs pretty much every single week until somebody shows they can slow him down. Cause he is, you know, he was drafted to be this guy. He was a third rounder, which I feel like any more for running backs is basically a second round pick. Just the way that all the running backs get devalued. So, I mean, he, this is the role we thought we wanted him to be in, like when he landed in Miami, and then it's just chef's kiss, man. Like, I like that.
No, laughing at you. It's Jamie. No, I saw every first that, yeah. down the ref moves the chans, not the chains.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I have a hard time believing that Devon's gonna like carve out this massive role. Like, at some point, Jeff Wilson's coming back too, right? And so we can't forget mm-hmm. about him. Like, he is the real deal. Like, Jeff Wilson is good.
I think him and Mostert are
super good. We were talking about it last year. Mm-hmm. They kind of play, you know, 1A, 1B to each other. And so, yeah, this game, I think, gives HN a much more established and much more of a, you know, for the coaching staff reasons, right? Like, hey, I'm a dude, give me the ball, I can make things happen. We'll see. You know, we've seen monster games like this before, and then like nothing ever comes of it. So I don't know. I wasn't willing to spend, you know, the 70% fab that I've actually seen spent on this guy in 1 week. But anyway.
Next topic here, we got the Big Mike injury. You know, this is kind of what happens. We're used to this now. We're trained to knowing that Mike Williams is going to be injured at some point during the fantasy season. This one's tough, though, because he is, you know, on the older side. This is a fairly major injury. And I just don't know if he's going to be able to recover from this to get back to the form we're used to seeing in those, you know, boom or bust Mike Williams seasons when he's been healthy. But of these, you know, guys that we're looking at here, you got Palmer and you got Johnson. JJ, who do you think is going to step up more between these two?
In the short term, I think it's going to be Palmer. I was a little bit down on QJ compared to like the consensus. Like, I think I had him down at number four for the pre-draft when he was coming in. So I don't know. He's raw. So I'm not surprised he hasn't really taken off yet. So I think in the immediate short term, I think it's going to be Palmer. But if you tell me at the end of the season that Johnson's taken over, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they basically drafted him to be the Mike Williams replacement, you know, that the guy that can go up when at the mm-hmm. when at the catch point, get down the field. So, yeah, like if you need to pick up somebody to start him this week, I'd say Palmer. But if you're playing the long game, I'd go Johnson.
Yeah,
I completely agree with you. Almost like I actually think to some degree it's still Palmer long term this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen him do it. That's the difference, right? And mm-hmm. you know, he's been a reliable guy for them last year when both of these guys were out. You know,
yeah,
he had games of 12, 10, 8, 10, 7, 11 targets, like and produced. Yeah. Not like a true wide receiver one, but he produced. And now he doesn't have to be the wide receiver one because Keenan Allen's still there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Eckler will be back soon. Johnston will still be there. The one thing working in Johnston's favor is that right now, so far this season, the Chargers have liked to run three wide receiver sets a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so Johnston's going to be on the field. In fact, I mean, proof, right? Palmer has been on the field a lot. You know, he's run, you know, he's run, you know, almost as many routes as Mike Williams. So in fact, in game one, they ran the exact same amount of number of routes. So it's there for Johnson to make a difference. He's got to perform to pass Palmer in the depth chart, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, for me, it's definitely Palmer first. And, you know, I think long-term QG would, or QJ, sorry, would be the better play, but you know, you need something to plug in now. If you lost Williams, and I think that's just going to be Palmer for at least the next handful of weeks.
I lost out on all the Palmer bids I put in because I was not, I people went bonkers, like 50% of their fab on him. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought people were all over. Cause if you look at Twitter, everybody was like Quentin Johnson. And I was like, all right, so I can go a little under on Palmer.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think you beat me out by like $50, and then you got beat out by another $50 in the F6P friends and family league, or whatever you want to call it. The OG league.
I
bumped up to close to the 350 or whatever it was.
I put 36 out of 100 on him and still got beat out 50 to 36. In the Fantasy Six Pack listeners and JJ, you're in that league with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the LaPlante. He got him for $50 because he lost Mike Williams.
It makes sense.
And of course, he listens to us, so he knows that. He knows.
I gotta go in on this.
He knew I was going hard after him. So, wow. It is what it is. I'll make do. Last question here is, Derek Carr's hurt, probably going to miss a few weeks with that, you know, AC joint shoulder injury. Jameis Winston.
Yeah, buddy.
Time. Gunslinger, baby.
Eat them W's, baby.
Look, me personally, I'm just going to cut it short here. Me personally, I am not worried at all about the pass catchers here. Yes. Am I worried about the Saints possibly winning more games? Yes, because Jameis Winston is a complete wild card. However, because he's a wild card, the offense is lights out with him sometimes. Like Olave, Michael Thomas, Juwan Johnson is going to get some. I actually like Kamara better with him there. Like Carr is fine. Carr is safe and reliable and yeah, maybe he'll win more games. I think me personally, Winston elevates this team from a fantasy standpoint, which is what we love.
Yep.
So much more. So gimme. What do y'all think?
I'm a big Jameis guy, man. I've liked him since he came into the league. Like I'll ride with him any day.
I mean, I don't like him.
30-30 every season. Let's get it.
AJ, you know a little something about that.
I do.
Yeah.
Do indeed. I don't talk about it.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna end it there. So we're gonna have a little fun to end the show. And I totally missed the banner there on that one. Sorry about that. We're gonna have a little fun to end the show. We're gonna bring a little something new. Calling it our, we might change the name. We're gonna give it a hashtag at some point, so you guys can do it. We'll look for us on Twitter about this. The silly string over under bet of the week, and what this is, right, is we are using the Fantasy Six Pack. Oh, do we have a question? My bad.
Did we?
Oh, no, we don't. So give me. What we're using here is we're using the Fantasy Six Pack FanDuel, which are half PPR projections. You all can use whatever projections you want to join us and have some fun with this. But we each are going to pick one player and say if they are going to beat, go over, or under their projected points that is on our site. You can use whatever projections you want. Just post it on Twitter. Hashtag us. Again, I will post it eventually. We got to pick it. I didn't plan that out as well as I should have. But if you lose, you need to get silly stringed and videotape it, right? Video it with your phone, videotape it. I'm old. Sorry about that.
Bring out the old camcorder.
Record it on your phone. Post it on social media. Hashtag us. But you also need to post your... Yes, you also... Please be kind and rewind, right?
That's right. That is correct.
Yeah. If you're going to join us, post it on Twitter. You can comment on our thread that we have about the show, post your bet, and then own up to it later. Post your video if you lose, win or lose. So who wants to go first?
JJ, you're the guest of the show.
Okay, why not? So Swin may seem a little out of left field because he has not broken this projection yet, but we kind of just talked about Jameis. I think it's going to be a high scoring game in that one. So I'm going to go Chris Godwin over 9.91 points, half PPR. I feel like they're going to put a lot of attention on Mike Evans. I feel like this is going to be kind of the game where he kind of has like that normal 5, 6, 7 catch game. So I'll go Godwin over 9.91.
All right. All right. Keeping things spicy here. I am going to go with Mr. Davante Adams at LA. He's projected for 1606. I'm going with the over. We just saw what Minnesota did to this Chargers defense. And, you know, Jefferson specifically had 7 for 149 in a tutty, so 13 targets. And Adams just is coming off of a huge week as well. I mean, he's just only gotten better so far this year.
What's his projection again?
It says 16.06. Sorry.
All right, yeah.
So I'm taking the over on that, and yeah, I'm hoping he comes through.
I mean, yeah, he's The only worry is that, you know, Jimmy G is a little banged up too, but
Jimmy G is not necessarily
I do like Kirk Cousins, that one. I have him right there, to be honest, with that projection. But you know, he's one of my top four receivers this week. So easily, if he actually finishes top four, he's easily breaking 16. So I'm going over to running backs, and I'm picking Mr. James Conner going against the San Francisco 49ers. Projections have him around 12.2. I think it's 12.22, actually. Not to be confused with Tutu Atwell. San Francisco, their run defense is better than it looks like on paper. If you look at their points per game, they got thrashed randomly against the Rams. Just all over the place. I do not believe that's them for real. Other than that game, they have absolutely dominated on both sides of the ball. So I know the Cardinals, as we've mentioned a couple of times, have been, you know, surprisingly competitive. I just don't believe it's happening here. And Connor's going to get pretty shut out here. So he would have to fall into the end zone, I think, to beat this 12-point projection total. And my ranking
under.
My rankings have him below that. So, right. So I am under there. So there we go. So we will post these on the Twitter thread about the show. I will do that tomorrow. Feel free to jump in and join us on the fun. You know, I'll add a hashtag to it. Eventually, we'll talk after the show. And pick one, and so you guys can jump in. That's how we're gonna know you. I can find them and call you guys out if you missed your pick. So anyway, JJ, aka Jordan. Sorry, gotta say it
for those
at least once. So thanks for jumping on with us, man. I know it's kind of last minute, but great talking with you again.
Always been
fun doing it. Let us know where they can. Let everybody know where they can find your stuff and all that kind of good stuff, man.
Yeah, all my stuff is with Fantasy Six Pack. So if you're a member over there, I mean, you're going to catch it all there. We do dynasty ranks every Wednesday. I found out not every other Wednesday, so I'll have my ranks updated every Wednesday moving forward here. And then every Sunday or Monday morning, I'll have like a written recap of all the games from Sunday and Thursday. It's kind of like my main fantasy takeaways from each game. I believe that's actually free content right now. There's a lot of free content still,
mm-hmm. but you know, the juicy, the good stuff, man, is behind the paywall. But no, that's a fantastic recap article.
They're fun to write, man. I do them like just throughout the day on Sunday. So I have that every Monday morning. And then usually Monday afternoon to Monday nights, my Dino Six Pack Dynasty podcast comes out every Monday. And then I guess, oh man, Sunday mornings too. I guess I'm on like our Start Sit show Sunday mornings too. So Sunday, Mondays.
Love to have you, man.
That's fun, man. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah, man.
All right, man. Always a pleasure. We will. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, we will. We will see you later. And awesome,
man. Thanks for having me.
I'll see you Sunday morning. See you, man. All right, AJ. I think that is it for us. I'm sorry, I'm trying to do all the buttons all at the same time. It's not working very well. Yes. That is it for me, man. So this game right now is 33-17.